Once again, folks, we do give you a warm welcome in the Saviour's name to the evening gospel service. We thank you for your attendance, and we thank you and we appreciate your compliance on the restrictions that are placed upon us at this time of entering and exiting the building. And we do appreciate you working with the elders on this. For those that are in the service, for those that are listening online, we do bid you welcome in the Saviour's name. We give a welcome again to our preacher tonight, the Reverend David McMillan and his wife. We're glad to see them. We're glad to have them. We enjoyed his ministry this morning. And we do pray again that the word of God as it goes forth in the gospel will be used by God even in the salvation of precious souls. Immediately after the service tonight, in the youth room, there will be the after church meeting or after church for youth just held up in the youth room there over to the side of the gallery. That service will take place at around about 8:30. The Reverend McMillan will speak on the theme, the challenge of missionary work, and all youth are welcome. Tomorrow morning in the church halls, 10:30 to 11, the Little Sunbeams Parent and Toddlers group. For those that work in that, if you could remember that, and do remember it in prayer, please. Then tomorrow evening, from 6:45 through to 8 o'clock, also in the church hall, there will be the Awana Club's meeting. Do remember that as well. Tuesday evening, the Bible study and prayer meeting in the church hall at 8 o'clock. The Reverend Smiley will be here. He'll be continuing that theme, inviting people to Christ. We would urge you to come, ask you to remember the prayer meeting and be in attendance, encouragement even to those that gather. On Friday evening, for the elders, the presbytery meeting on Zoom at 8 o'clock and the same link as before, brethren, for that meeting. Saturday evening, 7:30 in the church hall, the youth reach, and the speaker this week is Mr. Kyle Boyd. Next Lord's Day, 10 a.m. the Sunday school, 11:30 a.m. the family worship, 7 p.m. the gospel evening service, and the preacher at both services will be our own minister, the Reverend Smiley. Next Lord's Day marks the 17th anniversary of his ministry here in this congregation. We pray that you'll come and that you will meet with us in the evening. The soloist at 7 p.m. will be our sister Natasha Atchison. And next Lord's Day at both services, we'll be taking up the building fund offering. So do remember that. Remember the services throughout the week and pray that God's blessing will remain and rest upon them. Just a couple of other announcements. The Let the Bible Speak calendars are £3.50. The Book of Daily Bible Readings in Memory of Dr. Kearns, £15, and the Book on the Life and Ministry of the Reverend Hugh Hanna is £7.95. You can put your name down on the list for any of those publications or see your brother Mervyn Steenson regarding those. Remember those who are sick, who are in need of our prayers at this time. Just before I sit down, just to remind you again of the leaflets that we mentioned this morning in relation to the mission board work of our free church. There are four little leaflets there. Take them, they're on the tables just as you leave. And the other little book, the paper pulpit. I do trust that you'll take these. These are just sermons that appeared. The Reverend McMillan wrote them for the newspaper in the newsletter, and he has decided that they've been put in print. All proceeds for that will go towards the mission board to help organise meetings for the pastors in the mission field. So we pray that you'll bless, take them. Price of them is £3. They're available in the hall as well as you leave. See your brother Mervyn for those as well. Just one other thing, as you leave, the baskets will be at the door and you can leave in your offerings as you exit the buildings. We're glad again to have the Reverend McMillan with us. He's no stranger to us, brought up in this part of the country, and we're glad to have him along with us again. We enjoyed his ministry this morning. A simple word, but yet how true and how effective it was. And we do pray that the Lord will bless him again as he opens his scriptures and preaches the gospel to us. Brother, you're very welcome. God bless you tonight. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. We do thank our brother again for the kind words of welcome, bringing the announcements to us. It's a joy to be with you in Ballygown for all of these services today. We're glad of the opportunity. It's a privilege to be here to minister the Lord's word. We're looking forward to this service and also to the time with the young people a little later. And we pray we'll know the Lord's presence come down in a very special way amongst us. We're commencing tonight with the hymn 203. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. Overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. So the hymn 203, and we're keeping our seats as we sing, please. Let's just stand together, please. We'll seek the Lord's face. Lift our hearts to him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise thee for the privilege that we have to be able to approach thee. We're conscious, Father, of our need. We remember that the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Father, that would be the cry of our hearts as we approach thee tonight. We ask thee to lead us out in prayer. We pray the Spirit of God will come down upon us. We ask, Father, in these dark, difficult days in which we're found, that you'll pour out the Spirit of prayer upon us. We do praise thee, Father, for the blessing of being in thy house. We thank you for the open doors. We thank you for the freedom we have to gather together in thy house. We pray that that might ever be preserved. We ask thee, Father, to remember the cause of the gospel in this land of ours. We're conscious of the tide of blessing that is going out. And Lord, we want to plead that you'll be pleased to turn the tide. Remember that your word speaks of you opening the windows of heaven and pouring out upon us such a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And Lord, we want to ask tonight for your blessing. We remember Achsa came to Caleb, her father, and said, give me a blessing. And Lord, that's our prayer. The outset of our meeting, we ask thee to bless the gospel service. We pray that you'll bless this meeting mightily. We want to pray that every person that's gathered here tonight will be blessed in the service. We want to pray that our hearts will rejoice in the goodness of our God to us. Lord, we want to pray that you'll bless us in a special way tonight. We want to pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word. We pray that there will be your word tonight will have free course. We pray that it might be glorified. We want to pray, Father, that you'll bless our families, even at this time. We think of loved ones that are still out of Christ, loved ones that are not right with God. We want to ask, Father, that you'll bless us with a household salvation. Our desire, Father, is that on the day when the roll is called up yonder, that every one of them might be there. We want to pray, Father, that you'll speak to our families. We ask you to speak even in the service tonight. We pray that we'll be conscious that the Lord is here. We pray, Father, it'll be evident that the Spirit of God is at work. We pray that you'll strive. We ask that you'll move in hearts. We want to pray, Father, it'll be evident that God is speaking to souls, even in the gathering this evening. We want to pray for your help in every part of this meeting. We're glad just in prayer that we can commit, Father, the way unto thee. We ask thee to guide us through the service tonight. Remember that you've promised, you've said in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. So we're praying, Father, direct us through the service tonight. Come and lead us through this meeting, even in every part. We pray, Father, that you'll give help in the ministry and song. We remember, Father, when the minstrel played in the Old Testament times, how the Spirit of God came down upon your servant. We want to pray that you'll do the same tonight. Speak through the messages and song. But especially, Father, we ask that your voice will be heard in the preaching of your word. We thank you for tokens for good given to the congregation here in recent days for prayer that has been answered. We rejoice in souls that have been saved and won for Christ. Our hearts rejoice to hear of God at work. And Lord, we thank you for the mercy drops around us that are falling. But it is for the showers of blessing that we would plead. Remember the families of this congregation. Lord, you've told us that we're to pray one for another. We want to lift up the families of the congregation here, the varying needs. You're the God that knows the hearts of all men. And you know the burdens, Father, even those secret cares that your people carry from time to time. And we ask, Father, that even in your house tonight, that each one will be enabled to cast all their care upon thee, for thou dost care for them. Remember those that have loved ones that are not well at this time, draw near. You said we're to pray one for another that we might be healed. And Lord, we're asking that those that are experiencing weakness and infirmity would know the touch of God resting upon them. We pray that you'll strengthen them. And Lord, we want to pray that in the days in which we're found, that you'll give to your people even the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Pray that each one that is sick at this time very soon will be well enough and strong enough to be back here fellowshipping in the Lord's house with the Lord's people. We just ask, Father, that you'll keep your hand upon our families and encourage our people, strengthen their hands, even in the days in which we're found. Guide in every department of the church. Think of all the meetings that will be held this week. And Lord, we ask that prayer will be answered. We pray that God will be at work in all of those meetings. Bring in new people. Bring in new children and young people. Lord, you've said in your word that we're to pray the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth labourers. And we're asking, Lord, that you'll send in others, that there'll be those sent of God, even into the congregation here. We remember that you've said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And Lord, our eyes are upon thee, that you'll cause the testimony of Christ here and across the land to go forward, even in the days in which we're found. So hear our prayers, Father. Abide with us now. And we just pray earnestly that the Spirit of God will descend upon us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to bring just the first message and song to you. We're going to think of the cross and the sufferings, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. It's that lovely old gospel piece, crucified, they nailed my Lord upon the tree and left him dying there.
Sacrifice for me thy and nailed upon the tree. With pierced hands and faded side, for you, for me, his voice I hear, his love I know, I worship at his feet. And kneeling there at Calvary's cross, redemption is complete. Crucified, and nailed upon the tree. With pierced hands and faded side, for you, for me.
Amen. We're going to read a few verses together, please. Mark's Gospel, the 8th chapter. Mark chapter 8, beginning to read at the verse 27. And we're reading down to the close of the chapter. Mark 8 and verse 27, let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others, one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Ending a reading just there tonight. And we pray the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. We're going to sing some verses of the hymn 351. We'd like you to think tonight about your soul, the spiritual well-being, the spiritual condition of your soul. So think of these words of Horatius Spafford's: when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. We'll sing the first two and the last two. We'll leave out the third verse of the hymn again, keeping our seats as we sing, please.
Thank you.
What a blessing that is. No greater blessing in this world than this life. And we pray that the words that we have just sung together will be your personal testimony. You're able to say that, especially that you will be able to say it before you go from the service tonight. It is well. It is well with my soul. We appreciated our brother mentioning the little paper pulpit booklets. The Committee on Armagh has published that third volume. We've been encouraged with the interest that there's been in the previous volumes. How those came about, we've been writing those little messages for the newsletter now for just over 14 years past in the summertime. And some folk had been photocopying some of those messages whenever they were printed in the paper. They wanted to keep them or to give them out to others. And they asked if it would be possible to put them into a form that they'd be able to hold on to the messages for themselves for future reference, or maybe to give them out to others that they were concerned about. So that's how the first one was published. And because of the encouragement we've received, we've now got as far as the third volume. All the proceeds from the very beginning have gone to the Lord's work. The first volume, the money went to the building fund in Armagh. The second one, it went to the board, especially for the school in Uganda. But there was something over £1,000 went to Liberia at the time they were building the radio station there. And they were looking for funds to put up the big transmitter. So some of the money went to that. And as our brother James said earlier, this third volume, the board, in recent years has been organising pastors' conferences. A lot of the pastors in the mission fields where we're labouring have not had the opportunity to go to college for formal training, as we're blessed with here. They're crying out for help, for teaching, for resources. So the board has been seeking to do that. Certainly the COVID crisis has hindered that, been done on the ground. But there's been a number of those conferences carried out over the last 20 months or so over the internet. Just this past week, Monday and Tuesday, there was a pastor's conference conducted in India. Our brother Dipan Kernandi, who's a student at our college, studies remotely from India, he organises three or four of those pastors' conferences every year. There had been a conference down in Corrigarry about 6 or 7 weeks ago on rediscovering our place in the Great Commission. So that theme was carried on at the conference at the beginning of the week with a few other messages. There was 9 brethren in total. So it was a real joy to speak at that. I took the first session on Tuesday morning. About 20 pastors that joined us from various places in India. There was one brother from Delhi. Just think of the vast mission field that there is there in Delhi alone. So it's a great work to be done trying to encourage and help the pastors. When circumstances allow, we bring the pastors together for those conferences that they can have the benefit of fellowship. So we like to help them with their travel expenses and their accommodation and so on. So all the proceeds from this third volume will be going towards helping with that. And as well, remember that giving out the booklets, it's a great means of evangelism. The reason there's 31, why we settled on that, the idea is that you give a copy to someone that you're concerned about and encourage them to read one message every day for a month. And as they're reading, pray that the Lord will speak to their hearts through them. So we have been encouraged how others have used them. We hear stories regularly of how others have taken those messages. There's a church there in Suffolk, Walsham Le Willow, that we preach at every couple of years or so. They give out a little outreach newsletter from their church in the village in the surrounding area, and they take the messages from the paper pulpit and publish them in their church outreach newsletter. The Reverend Kenny does the service in the church, or sorry, does the service in the prison on a Sunday morning in McGabbery prison. And we give him some copies to take in to all of the prisoners that attend those services. And they were very well received. In fact, they sent a special message of thanks that we thought of them and remembered them. So please, we value your prayers for those little messages as they go forth, that the Lord might be pleased to use them greatly. I'm going to bring another message and song. Think about the last mile of the way, the end of the journey, when our days on this earth are done. And this message says, I know there are joys that await me. That's the prospect of every Christian. We know we're going to heaven to be with the Lord. And it's our prayer that that is your prospect when you too have gone the last mile of the way.
If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in his beauty. Oh, when I've gone the last mile of the way, I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. For Christ I proclaim the glad story, if I seek for his sheep gone astray, I am sure he will show me his glory when I've gone the last mile of the way. Of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Hear the dearest of ties we must sever. Tears of sorrow are seen every day, but no sickness, no sighing forever when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. And if here I have earnestly striven and have tried all his will to obey, 'twill enhance all the rapture of heaven when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, shall rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way.
Amen. We'll stand just for a moment, please, just to seek the Lord's blessing on his word tonight. Father, we thank you for being with us in the meeting thus far already. We want to ask, Father, that it may please thee to grant us an even greater blessing in the closing part of this service. We pray the tide will come in. We pray, Father, for the waters to swim in. We want to pray that you'll help, Father, just to close out from our hearts and minds every distracting thing. We want to pray that even the hush of eternity will fall upon the gathering. We want to pray, Father, that you'll fix our hearts and our minds on eternity. Help us to set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. And Lord, our prayer is that it will be well with the souls of all that are in this meeting and all that hear this message. And each one will be able to testify personally and say, I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. So Father, hear our prayers, and we just ask, give to us the anointing of your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. We're turning to Mark chapter 8 and to the words of verses 36 and 37 of that passage. Mark chapter 8, the verse 36 says, For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In both verses, you've mentioned made the very last word. It is of each verse of the soul. And that's what I'd like you to think about with me just for a little while in the gospel service tonight. I want you to think of the vital question, is it well with your soul? And urge you, men and women, don't dodge the question, don't evade it. It's very easy to do that even in a meeting like this, to focus your mind, your heart on other things, things of this life, things that are temporal. So I urge you, don't dodge the question. And I want to stress to you that you need to consider it carefully, solemnly. And you need to consider this question urgently before the Lord tonight. Don't think about your job. Don't think about your home, your money, your property, your position. All of those things have their place in your life. But rather, what you must do, what you need to do, especially if you're not saved this evening, is you need to think about your soul. Think about your soul's spiritual condition, especially in the light of eternity. And think of that great question, where will you spend eternity? Just take that to heart this evening, men and women, and ask yourself just now, where will your soul be in eternity? Can I remind you, there's nothing more important in this world. Nothing. Doesn't matter what it is. Nothing more important in this life than to have the peace, the assurance that it is well with your soul. What I want to do for a few minutes, just quickly, is to list for you some vital truths that are taught here in these verses about your soul. I'd like you to think of them carefully, consider them, take them to heart, especially as you consider that great question that we asked just a moment or two at the beginning of the message. Is it well with your soul? Notice in these verses that we learn that your soul is personal. You think of the words at the end of verse 36. The Saviour says, his own soul. I want you to think of that. The fact is, men and women, every person has a soul. Every person, in the words of the Saviour, has their own soul. So just take that in this evening. Here's a great wonder. A great wonder indeed. Every person has a soul. No one is excluded and no one is exempted. And I want to urge you today to ponder that. To ponder it very carefully. To ponder carefully your own soul. Can I remind you, the Bible teaches you were made in the image of God. Let me remind you that God doesn't have a body. God is a spirit. He's a spiritual being. So the image of God that you have is a spiritual image. You have a spiritual part. A spiritual part that is within you. And that spiritual part is your soul. And it's important to highlight that is what makes man different. Different from every other creature in God's creation. Even from the angels, because they don't have a soul. No other creature, no other animal was created as man was created, because no other creature, no other animal has a soul. So men and women, it's important to understand, to accept this great truth today, that you have a soul. Every person, every individual has a soul. And let me go a step further and stress that the soul that you have is now marred, because the soul that you have is a sinful soul. It's not good, it's not clean, it's not holy. Your soul is sinful. Ezekiel declared, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And those words describe your soul. The reality is, we are all sinners. Paul said in the book of Romans, "There is no man that sinneth not." So that means that you have a sinful soul. If you were to consider or ask the question, why do you sin? Well, it's because you're a sinner. It's because you were born with a sinful soul. And if you're out of Christ tonight, I want to impress upon your heart, it's because of that sin that it's not well with your soul as you sit in this gospel service. It's because of that sin that you're not right with God. So your soul is personal. I want you to see as well, we're taught here that your soul is precious. You think of the text, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? A few months back in the summertime, a diamond was discovered in Botswana, one of the countries down there in South Africa. It was the third largest diamond ever to be found. It is 1,098 carats. It's worth millions. In fact, at the time that I read the article, the value of it still had not been calculated or released. But that fact reminds us there are many precious things in this world. But I want you to see tonight, men and women, your soul is worth more than them all. In fact, your soul is worth more than all of them put together. Your soul, the soul that God has given to you, that soul is worth more than the whole world. You just think tonight of all the world, all the wealth, all the property, all the possessions, and it doesn't compare. In fact, it doesn't even come close to comparing with the value of your soul, the value even of just one soul. Your soul is precious. And you need to understand today, men and women, that your soul is so precious that it cannot be redeemed, it cannot be saved with anything in this world, regardless of its value, regardless of its worth. That's why anything that you bring, or anything that you would want to offer to God for your salvation, is of absolutely no value. You remember what Peter declared? We are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold. The message is clear. Your soul is so precious that only the blood of Christ can ransom and redeem it. Can I stress to you tonight, men and women, the gospel declares that your soul is saved by the blood. Saved by the blood of Christ. And saved by nothing else. Remember that lovely gospel hymn quoted in prayer at the communion table this morning. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Isn't it true that if something is of value, then you take very good care of it? Well, can I ask you tonight, do you care about your soul? Do you care about your most precious possession? The psalmist said, no man cared for my soul. How tragic that is when that is the case. But do you care? Do you even care about your own soul tonight? Remember, the devil knows the value of your soul. That's why the devil wants your soul. That's why he wants to take you down to hell with him. The Savior knows the value of your soul. That's why he left heaven, came down into this world. That's why he went to the cross and he died for you, died for your sins, died in your place. The Church of Jesus Christ knows the value of your soul. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we hold gospel meetings such as this. But the question, men and women, tonight is, do you know? Do you know the value, the great value of your own soul? If you did, if you really did, do you know what you would do? You would get saved. You'd come to Jesus Christ without delay. So your soul is precious. I want you to see as well that your soul is perpetual. If you just think of your soul, and remember that that soul that you have is everlasting. Your soul never dies. Can I remind you that every person has two parts. You have a body and you have a soul. You have a physical part and a spiritual part. It's absolutely certain that your body will die. Paul said in the book of Hebrews, it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Remember the words of the wise woman of Tekoa, we must needs die. Your body will die. It's absolutely certain. You see that all around you. We're constantly been reminded of the fact of death, the fact that your body will die. But your soul never dies. Your soul is immortal. Your soul lives on. Your soul has no end. You just consider for a moment the essential question. What is death? You could ask the scientists, you could ask the medical people for their answer to that question. Well, let me give to you the answer of the Word of God. What is death? It is the soul departing from the body. Do you remember whenever Elijah raised the widow's son to life again? This is what the Bible actually records of what happened. The soul of the child came into him again. Isn't that a tremendous statement? Very enlightening, very interesting statement. The soul of the child came into him again. So what that means is that at death, the soul departs. The soul departs from the body. And the soul goes out into eternity. Some cults teach what is described or what is known as soul sleep. They want you to believe that when you die, your soul goes to sleep. It goes into an unconscious state. But men and women, that's a lie. That's a deception of the devil. It's not scriptural. Your soul lives on. Your soul goes into eternity. This is what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes. He teaches us what happens at death. He declared, then shall the dust, remember that's the body, the physical part, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. So your soul goes out into eternity. The soul is perpetual. I want you to notice as well, men and women, your soul can perish. Consider carefully the solemn words that are found there at the end of our text. Whenever it states, and lose his own soul. It's not a solemn thought. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I want you to think of those words, men and women. Think of how fearful that is. Think of how awful a prospect that is, your soul being lost. You think how serious this matter is tonight. I want you to realize today that your soul, your personal soul, it can be lost in eternity. You might gain riches, you might gain the applause of the crowd, you might gain pomp and position in this world and in this life, but remember that all those things are temporal. None of them satisfy. None of them will last. But what if your soul should be lost? What if your soul should perish? And what if that soul is lost not for an hour or two, not even for a few years, but what if your soul is lost for all eternity? Be in no doubt this evening, men and women, if your soul is lost, what that means is it will go out to hell. It will go to that awful place. And it will be lost there forever. Forever and forever. Because there is no salvation in eternity. I want to impress that on your hearts tonight. There's no prospect, there's no hope of salvation beyond the grave. The Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, said, "The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." What he's teaching there is you can only have salvation. You can only have forgiveness of sins in this life, in this world. Think of the words of the hymn writer. Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, even if you gained the whole world for your own, your soul can be lost. Your soul can perish, men and women. The final thing I want to emphasize is that your soul must be given priority. Can I stress that in life as a whole, you need to get your priorities right. You need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Can I ask you, what is it that has priority in your life? Is it your body? Is it your soul? Is it the physical? Is it the spiritual? Is it the things that are temporal? Or is it the things that are eternal? What is it that has priority in your life? I want to urge you, men and women, to look to your soul. To give your soul first place. To give your soul priority. Remember the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12. God called him a fool. That's very significant for the Lord to describe anyone as a fool. His friends thought he was wise. His friends thought he was an astute businessman. But God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Why was it, men and women, that God called that farmer a fool? It was for this reason. He neglected his soul. He had given no thought to his soul. He had given no thought to the matter of a soul's eternal salvation. I want you to know tonight, men and women, there is nothing more important. There is nothing wiser in this life than knowing that your soul is saved. That is the thing above all else that must have first place in your heart and in your life. So let me come back again just to the question that we commenced with at the start of the message. Is it well with your soul? Ponder that carefully. Is it well with thee? Well with your soul? It can only be well, men and women, if you're saved. If your trust is in Jesus Christ alone. It can only be well with you tonight if you know Christ personally as your Saviour and your sins are forgiven. Let me just say this to you in closing, or tell you this little story quickly. Herbert Thompson was a Canadian businessman, very wealthy businessman. He owned more than 200 companies. He was especially interested in newspapers. He was very much to the fore in the newspaper industry in his day. One day he was asked, what would he give to own the New York Times? And as quick as a flash, without a hesitation, he replied, I think I would mortgage my soul. Is that a fearful answer? How sad, men and women. How foolish that statement is. And yet the reality is that many have. Many have sold their soul. You think of Esau. He sold his soul. What for? For a plate of food. He sold his soul for a mess of pottage. Think of Judas Iscariot, betrayed the Saviour. Well, he sold his soul for just 30 pieces of silver. That was the value. How little value they placed upon their soul. But I ask tonight, what of you? What will you give in exchange for your soul? That hymn I quoted a moment ago contains the words, you may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most. Is it well? Is it well with your soul tonight, men and women? That is the most important thing in this world. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I pray the Lord will bless his word. I pray that he might be pleased especially to bless it tonight to the saving of the lost. We're just going to turn to the hymn 232 as we finish. 232, O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. We turn while the Saviour is mercy, is waiting, and steer for the harbour light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. Just the verses 1 and 3, the first and third, and the choruses, keeping our seats to sing. Let's just bow our heads together in prayer as we close the service. The final verse says, O sinner, God's patience may weary some day, and leave thy sad soul in the blast. By willful resistance you've drifted away over the deadline at last. Remember that solemn truth. Your soul can perish. Your soul can be lost. We urge upon you the need to come to Christ and not to go home tonight, not to go away from the Saviour, or not to go away from the meeting until you're able to say with absolute assurance, it is well with my soul. Thank you, Father, for your help tonight, for your presence in the gathering. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for all that you've told us and revealed to us. We thank you for sending your Son to be our Saviour. Lord, we pray that you'll help us ever to set our affections on things above. We pray there'll be those in this meeting tonight that will be caused to think about their soul even as never before. And Lord, we want to ask earnestly that this might be a soul-winning meeting. We pray it'll be a gathering when a soul is snatched as a brand from the burning. Hear our cries. Guide us through this week. Use us each one. Our prayer, Father, is that you'll make us a blessing wherever you take us in your sovereignty and in your providence. And Lord, help us to be a witness for Christ. Help us, like John the Baptist, ever to be a bright and a shining light for the Master. Be with us now, then, as we go. Bless the young people as they meet. May the Lord be amongst us. Give us help, Father, even as we bring the challenge to the young people this evening. Lead them on with yourself. And Lord, be with us each one. We commit ourselves into your hands, asking that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will abide with us each one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.